Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. Welcoming Chris Riegel, the CEO of Scholar.com. This is the Scholar Report. Looking at the global economy, Scala.com is a global technology firm transforming the retail space with digital signage. We begin, however, with commercial real estate. Chris has followed very carefully commercial real estate since the depths of the pandemic. This would be the spring, summer of 2020. Asking the very logical question, what about the buildings where no one has returned to the office or only partially returned, or the changing assumptions of work from home and work from the office? Chris, a very good evening to you. I was not surprised, but then I was, to find that Canadian observers are also seeing a decline in commercial real estate occupancy in Canada. Quick to mention, this is nowhere near as bad as it is in the U.S. Quick to mention that it is nowhere near as bad as it is in San Francisco. The numbers look like this. The Canada-wide downtown office vacancy rate jumped to 17.7% at the end of 2022 from 10.2% before the pandemic, slightly larger increase than in the U.S. And then they go on to say this is nothing like the 24% surge in vacancy in San Francisco, tech-centric San Francisco. These are two outlier statistics that support your general observation that commercial real estate both has a vacancy problem and a problem of the leases either not being paid or there being no way for those leases to be reorganized as they were in the past because of work from home. Have you seen in your travels any national answer to this story of what you would say at this point is going to be trouble ahead?
Good evening, John. I think what you have in commercial real estate, as well as what you saw with Silicon Valley Bank, is maybe one of those perfect Venn diagrams of intersecting problems. When Silicon Valley Bank ran into its troubles, it was a revaluation of assets on the bank's books. The commercial real estate market is a multi-trillion dollar market, which is securitized through real estate investment trusts, bonds, other things here in the U.S. Now you have what could be another significant write-down and maybe another asset bubble popping with commercial real estate because tech has unlocked and served through the pandemic of allowing more and more workers to be able to work from home. You have fewer people in offices. You have companies that are reevaluating their needs for space and offices. And that's going to put a huge downward pressure on values of commercial real estate. That will then lead to write-downs in the bank's lending to commercial real estate developers and others and the writing down of that asset class. So it could be another very substantial bubble that's about to pop.
I can't imagine a commercial office situation more diverse from San Francisco than Canada, not known for speculation, not known for tech companies. These are extraction services dominated by miners and the oil and natural resources, also very careful commercial enterprises. And if they're seeing a jump in vacancy, that suggests logically that there's going to be difficulty with re-upping the leases. So let's leave Canada and San Francisco and go to the global picture because Chris Riegel does business in mainland China, and that is non-transparent. We've had some indication these last weeks, Chris, that the China business plan is in trouble and that maybe even the Chinese Communist Party recognizes it. The return of Jack Ma momentarily to Hong Kong, talking about, oh, perhaps going back to teaching school. He's been seen in a Tokyo flower market. He's been seen in Fiji. He's been wandering the earth, but he's no longer the dynamo who arrived in America to to preach the value of Alibaba, his great social media enterprise that became also wrapped up in fintech. What has happened to Jack Ma? He's no longer fear, I guess, of detention, but the news is they're going to break up his enterprise into six companies. What does this mean about the Chinese business plan?
It likely signals that to remain successful in China, you need to be publicly and outwardly constantly aligned to the CCP message. Mr. Ma spoke up not once but twice against some of the policies coming out of Beijing. The first time, I would assume he would receive a slight correction. The second time, it became much more evident that he was being disciplined. This is likely the result of that, and saying if you want to be successful in China, you have to support the government to the hilt. If you don't, we will break up your companies and we'll still live a very nice lifestyle and be a very wealthy man. But the power that's been taken and this dissection of the businesses does not put him in a position to criticize the government again.
Again, this does not suggest that China's is eager for outside investment, or is it? I mean, I thought the charm offensive was getting the investor class back into the mainland.
John, there's always kind of an unwritten rule in China, which is that you do not comment on domestic Chinese politics there. There's a very specific amount of control within that marketplace. So you may have opinions, but your opinions are kept private, and Chinese do this as well, to not confront a governmental policy they may disagree with. That's just the way business is done there. Now, you see things like Apple moving more and more business to India, others moving business to Vietnam and Malaysia. So now at the business side, companies are increasingly concerned about their public-facing view to shareholders and to customers to say, can we really sustain this? Is this fair? Is this proper on human rights or other issues? And that's giving a business hit to China.
You have business on the mainland, and these last weeks and months you've been reporting factories calling other factories saying, have you got any work for us? Also, questions about people coming back to work or not. The COVID zero policy broke a lot of wills. Is there any change in the environment now that it's springtime?
COVID definitely seems to be over, and materially workers are back to their posts across China. The supply chain has healed quite a bit, and where costs had declined very rapidly in Q1, they're signaling from China that pricing will go up in Q2 for many, especially electronic components. But my guess is that that will not stick. Demand now is so weak, factories continue to call seeking aggressively new business because it's evidently slow globally to that Chinese manufacturing machine. So it's still in favor of the buyer and still seems to be weak on the manufacturing side.
I seize on that your mention of the supply chain mending itself. The supply chain was a driver of a deal of the inflation. Is it promising that it's mending itself, that we'll get back to the sophisticated fashion that we had in 19?
I think what was there in 19 is gone now. The U.S. government is openly communicating to manufacturers and key U.S. companies to decouple from the Chinese supply chain and dependence on the supply chain. So I don't think China will ever go back to that prime position they had in 2019, both because of governmental policy and economics. The labor costs in China have spiraled up over the last several years, so it's not as appealing as Vietnam, Malaysia, or India, number one. Number two, as China's gotten more aggressive politically, that's sending the wrong signal about China being a great place to do business and to expand your businesses, and business people hate risk. And then third, with this continued supply chain improvement, it's not because the supply chains have gotten better. It's because of the demand destruction in the global recession that's now in full throat. So the problems of the global economy, China feels as the manufacturing floor for the globe, and that will continue to send shockwaves.
Silicon Valley continues to report layoffs. Even Disney got into the layoff picture. This has to do with the slowdown in the U.S. But again, we're waiting for the recession, or it's not here yet. Have you seen any sharp change in the direction of business to business in the last weeks or so?
John, what I think is becoming increasingly evident is that while there is not a Wall Street recession, there's certainly a Main Street recession. We continue to see in broad sectors, hospitality, quick service restaurants, small businesses, increasing weakness, increasing bankruptcy, increasing disruptions in those small businesses. Big businesses, for the most part, are doing quite well, but they're trimming staff aggressively, knowing that we're in for some rough waters. But it is that Wall Street versus Main Street comparison.
Chris Riegel is the CEO of Scala.com, a global technology firm transforming the retail space with digital signage. This is the Scala Report, and I'm John Batchelor.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.